Today is a dark day. It is Good Friday, but with Paul, I want to say it's a dark day. It's a dark Friday. And as we come to it, we have as many questions as there are answers. One of the questions for all of us on Black Friday, Good Friday, is why? Why did this happen? And too often we talk as though, and it's true, as though Jesus were a victim. He was a victim, but at the same time, he was the Son of God who came making choices, knowing exactly what he was choosing. You've walked past Alex's work of art this morning that portrays the oppressive darkness that sin brings into the world. This is the darkness that came up against Jesus as he hung on the cross. But this was not purposeless. In the last week of his life, Jesus came to Jerusalem to replace the temple, knowingly, faithfully, and humbly. He was very well aware how this would end. And as for everybody in Israel, he had seen crucifixions. He had walked past the crosses where people hung naked, being mocked and suffering horribly. He knew exactly where he was going, and he knew why. He had already told his disciples, "The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to receive it again. This command I received from my Father." So why the temple? Why was Jesus declaring war on the temple? The worship in the temple, which came after the worship in the tabernacle, had been instituted by God. So why declare war against the temple? Well, the temple was intended to be the place where heaven and earth meet, where people could come to seek the presence of God. In spite of the fact that we were no longer in the Garden of Eden, God wanted his people to be able to seek his presence. He is not a God who wants to be far from his world and far from his people. His desire, right from the beginning, was to dwell with his people. The temple was to have been a place of repentance and forgiveness for sin. But Jesus himself, in his death, finishes the temple for once and for all. And he becomes in himself that place where heaven and earth meet, where they come together, where the presence of God can always be found. Jesus came to Jerusalem looking for a final showdown, appalled at the corruption of the temple worship and what it had become. Israel was to have been a light to the nations. Right back in the call of Abram, Israel was to be a light to the nations around them. And the temple was to have been a place ushering others into the presence of God, a light to the Gentiles. But instead, the place where others should have been able to approach a holy God has become a place of exclusion. Israel has turned its privilege as the people of God into a harsh boundary against outsiders. And those who were outsiders became a tighter and tighter and tighter group as the years went by. The temple excluded the Gentiles, shut out the peoples, is not a place of prayer for the nations, is not the light of the world. Instead, it's a place of naked power and of rampant business interests. The conduct of the temple, the policing of entry, the charges for offering sacrifices prevents the blind, the lame, the lepers, the ill, the poor, and the sinful, those who know they are sinful, from seeking the presence of God. The temple shuts out those who most know that they need him, who are conscious of their deep need. So judgment is coming. Jesus comes not as victim, though he was unquestionably victimized. He comes as the rightful king of the earth. To become in himself the place where heaven and earth meet. In his incarnation, Jesus became fully human and fully God. And in his ministry and his miracles, he is the meeting place of heaven and earth, which is why the crowds flocked to him. They knew they were coming to the presence of God when they came to Jesus. And they brought with them all the people who were shut out from temple worship. They brought the blind, the lame, the lepers, the poor, the sinners. They came to the presence of God, to the place where heaven and earth meet, where the presence of God can safely be approached. Jesus will in himself replace the temple, which replaced the tabernacle, which replaced the Garden of Eden, the place where originally heaven and earth met and where God walked with Adam and Eve. God's desire is to be with his people, and many things block his presence from us. Our sin, for one. But at this point in time, the conduct of the temple blocked people from approaching God. Jesus wasn't passive. He came intending to lay down his life. He entered triumphant on a donkey as the true king of the earth. He received the praise of the crowds. He didn't disagree with it. Here comes our king. But he also came bringing judgment on what passed for worship in the Jerusalem. Reading from Mark 11, starting at verse 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." In Mark's gospel and in the others, Jesus' actions of cleansing the temple are framed by his curse on an unfruitful fig tree that withered immediately. If you look at this story in Luke's gospel, it withered instantly. It's one of those puzzling stories. Why does Jesus curse the fig tree? After all, it wasn't even the season for figs. Why is this story recorded? And why does it matter? Was Jesus really just hungry? This story matters because Jesus' actions are prophetic. If we want to understand what happened in the temple, what Jesus did with the fig tree is prophetic and tells us the meaning. In just the same manner as the Old Testament prophets sometimes performed prophetic actions, as they conveyed God's judgments through actions rather than words, so too Jesus was performing a prophetic action by cursing the fig tree. Why was the fig tree cursed? Because it was not bearing fruit. Fig trees exist to bear figs. Why did Jesus condemn the temple? Why did Jesus overturn the money changers' tables? Why did he prevent people carrying merchandise through the temple courts? Because just like the fig tree, the temple was not bearing fruit. Not the fruit of repentance, not the fruit of righteousness, not the fruit of mediating between God and people. The temple was not fruitful at this point in time. It was a business that shut people out from the presence of God, that prevented the temple being a place of prayer for all the nations, that excluded the needy people of the community. But the temple was the most important single symbol of Judaism, the place where God had promised to dwell among his people, the place where heaven and earth met, the place where people should have been able to repair the damage in their covenant relationship with God, a place where they were protected from being overwhelmed by a holy God who was contained behind a curtain in the Holy of Holies. The presence of God was there. The curtain was this thick, and only the high priest entered, and only once a year, because the presence of God would overwhelm people otherwise. God had chosen the people of Israel to dwell among the nations so that all nations through them could enter into the covenant with God. But Israel has shut them out, has hoarded their own privilege as the people of God, has failed to be a light to the nations, has become separatist and proud. So just before his death, quite knowingly, Jesus challenges the hopes of Israel, who are expecting that the Messiah, when he comes, will condemn the Gentiles out there, will bring judgment on the Gentiles. Instead, what he announces is the destruction of their most cherished symbol, the temple. He tells them in another place that it will be torn down, and in 3 days he will rebuild it. 70 years after Jesus' death, the temple was destroyed. And Jesus is announcing that in advance. And he's doing these things in the name of the Lord. Who does he think he is? He's acting as though he is God's holy Messiah. Speaking a word that nobody welcomes and nobody expects. This man has to go. But what about us? What do we make of this man? The one who came to die. The one in whom heaven and earth meet. What do we do with Jesus? And what do we do with those who don't know him? Let's pray. Almighty Father, God of judgment and mercy, overthrow our systems. Overthrow those systems that exclude other people. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us the many ways that we prevent others from entering your presence and your family. Forgive us our lack of fruit. Establish us in your rule of grace and truth. Make us your people and this place your church. A place of prayer for the nations. A place where others will freely find the presence of Jesus. Where no one is excluded. Make us a place where heaven and earth meet. Amen.